On Palm Sunday, we began a journey. A journey through this most sacred and solemn week of the year, through this Holy Week. And throughout this week, we walk the way that Jesus walks. We began this week walking with Jesus in his triumphal entry into Jerusalem. And tonight we come to the upper room of the Last Supper. Tomorrow we journey with Jesus to the cross. And we move from there to the tomb of burial and the place of the resurrection. In walking this week with Jesus, however, this is not simply an exercise in nostalgia. It's not just about memorializing the past or reverently remembering. But rather, when we gather this night, when we gather throughout this week, the past, the present, the future are all caught up, brought together, united at this altar. For in the Eucharist, earth and heaven are united across time and space. Those who have gone before us, those who will come after us, those of us who are here now are all caught up together. And we worship gathered with all, and with all the saints, with all the angels, all united in this liturgy. And so when we journey through this week, we not only look back to the last days of Jesus' life, but we too are walking with him this week in the present. We are making the journey with him. We are making that journey from death to life. We are making that journey by which Jesus' mighty acts won for us our salvation. I'm struck how on Palm Sunday, the week began very publicly, remembering Jesus' triumphal entry in Jerusalem. We started outside at 10 o'clock waving palms and shouting, "Hosanna! Hosanna!" Remembering how in Jerusalem on that day they strewed their cloaks and branches on the road, and Jesus rode in triumph on a donkey and was hailed as a king. Tonight is very different. Tonight is far more intimate. Jesus gathers with his 12 disciples in the upper room, and Jesus knows that one of them will betray him and that he will be killed tomorrow. And so he gathers in the intimacy and the quiet to share a final meal with his disciples. And it strikes me that there is something very ordinary in this meal. It was a very common thing for a teacher, a rabbi, to share this kind of meal with his disciples. Jesus likely shared it often. And it was common at these meals for there to be a loaf of bread and a cup of wine that were ritually shared at the meal. And yet, Jesus takes what is ordinary and typical and makes it something extraordinary. Jesus takes simple bread, the basic daily food of life, takes simple wine, the daily drink of his time, and pronounces them his body and his blood. And he calls his followers to do the same, to do as he has done. And so we gather this night called to recall into our present the action of Jesus at the Last Supper. We recall into our present the presence of Jesus in the ordinary signs of bread and wine. And in this sacrament of the Eucharist, we find that abiding presence of Jesus. Jesus who is with us always, even in the present, even on this night. And so in receiving this bread and wine, we receive the very body and blood of Jesus. We take into our very being the abiding presence of Jesus. In receiving the Eucharist, we are formed into Christ's body and sent forth into the world as his body. As St. Augustine said, we receive what we see that we might become what we eat. We receive the body of Christ so that we can become the body of Christ. But there's another part to the story on this night. For during this ordinary meal, Jesus absolutely surprises his disciples by washing their feet. Now, foot washing was common in that first century world, a world of sandals and dusty roads. But usually that was hospitality offered when a guest arrived, and it was one of low status who washed the feet. It was not done during a meal. And this humble act of washing feet should not have been done by one of the status of Jesus. It should have been done by someone else, or his disciples, as the teacher, should have washed his feet. He is their teacher. They should serve him. It's for that reason that we hear Peter is so disturbed by Jesus' actions. He's offended by what Jesus is doing and tries to stop him, refusing to be washed. But Jesus insists that Peter does not understand now, but he must allow Jesus to wash his feet. And then after washing their feet, Jesus asks them, "Do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for that is what I am. So if I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have set you an example, that you should also do as I have done to you." Jesus makes clear that in washing the feet of his disciples, he is showing an act of love, an act of humble servanthood. That act of washing feet is a gesture that's totally about the other person. It is for their benefit, for their care and well-being. It's not about the greatness of the one washing. It's not about anyone's prestige. In fact, it may even not be something that's entirely comfortable. It certainly, for us in this age, can be uncomfortable to experience someone washing our feet. And yet, this is how Jesus demonstrates his great love for us and also calls us to do the same. And so this night, we are invited to let down our boundaries, our protectedness, and to allow Jesus to enter in and care for us, to minister to us through the touch of another, to open ourselves to the loving act of having our feet washed, and then to kneel and wash the feet of another, to likewise care for them in this humble act. And so in just a few minutes, I will invite you to participate in the foot washing, to remove your shoes and come forward to the two chairs that will be set up, and to have someone wash your feet, and then to get up from that chair and to kneel and wash the feet of another person. Certainly, no one must do this, but I invite you to consider doing it, to consider entering into that intimate act, to experience this act of service that Jesus commands us to do, commanding us to do just as he has done, to find in this ordinary, humble act a sign of the loving servanthood of our Savior. For it is a sign of the new commandment that Jesus gives us this night. In Latin, the word for commandment is mandatum, from which we get our English version, mandi. This night is about a mandate, a commandment. And that new commandment, that mandi, is to love one another as Jesus loves us. Jesus said, "I give you a new commandment, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also should love one another. By this, everyone will know you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." The love that Jesus calls us to have is that same love that he has for us. Jesus, the one who does not seek greatness or prestige for himself, but gives himself even his very life in humble service. Jesus' love is demonstrated by the fact that he washes the feet, even of the one who will betray him, the one who will deny him, all those who will abandon him. And he demonstrates his great love by willingly going to the cross, dying there, living love to the end. And he shows his love for us in giving us his abiding presence in the bread and wine of the Eucharist, his body and blood, heavenly food for our earthly pilgrimage. It seems to me that our world desperately needs to know more than ever, perhaps, this love of God made known in Jesus. And so this night, let us come before him as we are, wherever we find ourselves, and open ourselves to him, accepting the intimacy of his love, being transformed into his loving people, into his body, a people sent forth into the world to serve all in his name. In the midst of the hate, the greed, the violence of this world, may people see in us the love of Jesus. May they recognize us as his followers, and do so by how we love others and how we make known the love of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.